All right. Thank you guys so much. Very nicely done. Joey, that was some good honoring you did. How many of y'all know honor is a powerful thing? Honor is what creates community. And we got to do as much of that as we can. Honor is that you're selecting the beautiful things you see in someone without tripping over the things that they aren't there yet in, and, you know, magnifying that instead of the problems, and then encouraging that and creating that community and that love, that safety that gives somebody breath, you know, so that they can feel like they're not being chased by a tiger, not they're about to die, because that's what we do. We live in such stress sometimes. And so we gotta do that. We gotta love each other. We gotta lift each other up. We gotta honor. It's a beautiful thing, the honor. I wanted to talk this evening a little bit about prayer. Prayer is something that obviously I don't think there's any of us that would argue the importance of prayer. That we need to be doing it. We need to be doing as much of it as we can. We need to be working at prayer. And we need to be doing that as a church. That's why I'm bringing it up. And I'm really bringing it up because, again, because of what I felt on Sunday. I'm telling you guys, I didn't know what to say or do or anything. I'm just a human, discombobulated and emotional and everything else. And I'm like, God, help me. And but, you know, he does. And you know, and it's just amplified when you know that a lot of other people are aiming that at you. And it's like, whew. And so when that happens, you're like, man, can we get some more of that? I'd like to turn the knob up on that one. So, and not just for me, I'm not saying that just for me, but just the power of it. It's just awesome. And so it is one of those things that it is the... you know, it's where so much power is created and released, and so we need to do more of it. And I want to be thinking strategically as a leader of the church. How can we do it more? You know, what could we put in place to help us all? You guys know the struggle of it. We all understand the struggle of it, and I've done it. Listen, I've done a lot of praying. In my lifetime, it's one of those things I've done a ton of, and I'll hear, you know, when especially somebody that I'll go, like if I go pray for somebody that's not a part of this church and they've really never been around that part of who I am, when it comes out, they'll be like, wow, you like really pray, awesome. And I'm like, well, what does that mean really? Is it because I put strung a bunch of words together that sound right? It's essentially the truth. I know the Bible, and I repeat it in prayer, and it does sound awesome. But I'm thinking, does that make it powerful? Because it sounds good? That's right. It's true because it's true. But you know what we think as humans? We think, you know, because it sounds good, then it's good. You know, it's the repeating of the truth. It's the standing on the truth. And I just want to admit to you guys, as much praying as I've done, I still get the warfare against it in terms of, is this doing anything? I mean, I've done this, I've said it, and I've been here for this amount of time, and I've you know, and you really, it's effective. You can get convinced into. You know, and you might look at me and some of the things that I've said, and you might think that my prayer life is just amazing. And I'm just got to be honest with you, it's not as amazing as I would like it to be. I go through seasons of it in which I do a lot of time, but then I have other seasons where I don't so much. And so I think we need each other for that, and the consistency and in the... And just to help one another learn all about it. Prayer is such an enormous subject, for one thing. It's not just one thing. It's everything. But it's at its essence, it's just you communicating with God. It's you having a conscious contact with God that is real, that's based in His Word, really, because these are all the connection points. All the truths in God's Word are, that's the foundation of all of it. It should come straight out of that. But I still pray the prayer, God, teach me how to pray. I mean, I want to learn. I want to know. I want to understand this more. I want to grasp it a little bit more. I want to lean into it and be better at it. And so I say that to say that's why I just want to begin a series on prayer. I want to begin to talk about prayer and then think about how we can do more of it together as a church. It's something we need right now. Obviously, desperately, we need the direction of God. We don't need anything but the direction of God, the heart of God. And that's done in our conscious contact with Him. So wanted to talk about prayer tonight, and I just got excited about it. I'm going to kind of start out at the very beginning with the purpose of it in our creation. So I'm really starting at a foundational level. Probably won't get very far tonight in that. We got about 15 minutes, but that's fine. We'll break it off and then talk about it, add on to it. But I wanted to start out and just kind of build from the bottom up, you know. So why pray? That's kind of what I titled things. John Wesley's famous for saying, God does nothing on earth save in answer to believing prayer. Man, that's a big statement. God does nothing on earth save in answer to believing prayer. Obviously, God can do anything He wants, but it's as if He set things up to be a partnership to do His will. Maybe for Him, it's no fun. It's too easy if I'm doing it. I mean, I'm God. Got to throw a little something in there to make it a little, you know, and these weak humans who are so manipulated, if I say I need them to say something, that'll make it fun. Or I don't know. Not that's bad theology, I'm sure, but just work with me here. So it's set up that way. God wants to hear from us, and He wants us to establish His words and His desires on the earth. And we are the influencers. We are the salt. We are the agents. I did a study on salt for one of the funerals that I did a while back, and found out salt is the most useful thing on the planet. It's in everything. It's everywhere. Think about it. Is it not in every recipe you've ever cooked? It's in there. Well, it's not just in every recipe like that. It's in every recipe of all kinds. I don't care what is being made. Salt's in there. It's terribly useful, very powerful. And that's why God said, you are the salt of the earth. You're useful. If you will line up with how I created you to be and walk with me and have me coming through you, man, that's useful. And so that's what we want to do. Each and every one of us are useful and need to be salty in that sense, making a difference, making the recipe work because we're present. And so that's what we want to do. We want to get out there in the world, in the darkness, and shine the light, make things better. The more we retreat away from that, the more chaos, rottenness, you know, darkness occurs. And so I just got off on a tangent there, but let me start with this. Matthew, this is Jesus' final words here as He's ascending into heaven. Matthew 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. So there's the promise. He's saying, look, I've done my work. Now, what did Jesus do? He represented man. Do y'all know that the covenant is wrought between God and God, I mean, nothing can be, you can't mess that one up. And we're just thrown in the middle there because Jesus represents humans, because he became a human. Okay, so we can't mess this up. We just have to step into it and believe it and then think it and live it out. And prayer is just the relationship. It's just the communing. It's the back and forth. It's the love. It's the life with him. It's the God, the Father, us doing it with the Father. Okay, so it's powerful. He's the power. We get to join in on that. And prayer is like that. That's just the talking. That's just the communicating. Again, communication is so, it's so important. So important between us and God and one another. That's the lifeblood of the kingdom working. Okay, so I'm going to go all the way back to Genesis now, and we're going to talk about the creation mandate. Why pray? Because it's set up that way. Okay, God creates the earth. It's very complicated. It's very powerful. He goes day one, day two, day three, day 45, day six. He creates man day seven. He's finished, and he rests is the word that's used. He gives that love and security to man, and they look at everything that's made, and then he's basically showing man, look at it. Look at what I made. I made you to take care of this. I need you to run this. My power and wisdom, your image-bearing capacity, running this powerful planet, and I need you to make good on it. Okay? So it started out that way. He gives Adam dominion on the earth, and we call this the creation mandate. It's in Genesis 1, 26. Let me get to that real quick. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." So that's called the creation mandate. Now we want to look at some of those words there. The word dominion in the Hebrew is radah. And it means to rule, have dominion over, dominate, to tread down, to subjugate. Now, the tread down part and the subjugate part is kind of giving you an understanding that out there is something to tread down that you need to be watching for. God never mentions the enemy per se before he shows up to deceive, but the things that he has to say towards Adam lets them know there's something out there that we're looking for, and it's your job to take it down, to tread it, to take care of it, live above it, take care of it. The point I'm wanting to get is the position that God gives man, because that's still our position. Now Psalm 8:3-8 says this. You guys know it's a familiar verse. Says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you've ordained, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet." Goes on to talk about basically the oxen, beasts of the field, birds of the air, same thing as Genesis. So we're looking at that dominion over the works. And the word for rule, which is in other translations used instead of dominion, is the word mashal in the Hebrew. And it means manager, steward, governor. So you're getting an idea of what we're here to do. Adam was God's mediator, his go-between, or his representative. So, in other words, God didn't give away the ownership of the earth, but he did assign. So you have to think in terms of assignments. And that's another word that each one of us has. You have an assignment right now that God has given to you. Now, many people live without understanding what the assignment is because the communion, the contact isn't strong enough. They're not sure what it is. You have one, though, I can assure you. And you need to be walking out that assignment. Those assignments can begin with a season and end, and then you can get another assignment. Sometimes assignments can go for many, many, many years. There's different ones, but in other words, your own purpose is something that each one of us has. So God did not give away ownership of the earth, but he did assign it the responsibility of governing it to humanity. Okay, so there we have a part of our role, and that hasn't changed. Psalm 115:16 is another one that we could look at to get some insight. It says, "The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men." Now, that word "given" in other translations use the word "assigned," but that Hebrew word is nathan, and it literally means assigned. So it's not as much, it's not like he's given it away to us, it's that he has assigned us, the children of men, to the earth for a purpose. So in what way? What are we here to do? These may be things that you have already were aware of, but it, for whatever reason, studying this today just gave me a fresh awareness of, hey man, I'm here representing God, and so my prayer life and what I'm saying and what I'm doing matters a lot. And if I'm not doing it for him, then I can't point at somebody else, tell them they ought to be doing it. I mean, this is serious. And it just kind of really woke me up a bit about prayer again and about just living for God and with greater passion. So Genesis 2:15, we'll go back to 2:15 and look at a couple other words. Genesis 2:15 says, "Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it." Okay, so those, that word "tend" in other translations, it says cultivate. So tend or cultivate and keep. So the word "keep" there is the Hebrew word shamar, which is to guard or protect. Okay, so shamar in other portions of Scripture, all throughout Scripture, especially in the Old Testament, shamar is the primary word for a watchman. Okay, if you've heard that word watchman. Well, what's a watchman? A watchman is someone that gives alarm at the approach of an enemy. They'll blow the trumpet in the ears of a sleeping sinner, so to speak, and endeavor to wake him up. Or it's the picture of someone standing on a wall, a watchtower, looking out for danger. So you've got your eyes open, and you're awake, and you're aware that there is an enemy who has a strategy who's aimed at you. That's critical to understand that, and to understand that he's at work right now, all the time, in your own heart, all around you and others. And so you want to be awake in the truth, by the light, so that you can shine it in his face and get him out. And so that's one of those things that we're called to do. Prayer is one of those things. Communion with God, in other words, is something that's going to fill you with God's presence and give you a sensitivity when something is off. It's just going to tip you off to something is not quite right here. And I'm needing the Lord, ultimately, to reveal these things to me. I'm needing to know him more. I'm wanting to operate out my God-given privilege and honor and right here on this planet to represent him. Okay, so that's all kind of those things wrapped up in prayer. Adam was literally God's watchman or guardian on the earth as one aspect of what he was called to do. So that brings up the word representation. Okay, now if you look at the word representation and break it down, it's represent. Okay, we are representing whoever we're representing. Okay, so to present again, a representative is someone who represents the will of another. We represent or represent Christ when we speak in his name and authority, right? And that's what I was reading there in Matthew, what we've been commissioned to do. A representative in the dictionary, this is what the dictionary says about representative, to exhibit the image or counterpart of, to speak and act with authority on the part of, to be a substitute or agent for. So that's kind of the idea of what we're doing, representing God. So how to represent God? How do we do it? Well, the reason why we can do it is because of how we were created. It's how He made us. He made us for the job. The way that He wanted us to be made. Genesis 1:27, as we've already read, the phrase, in the image of God. That word image is, it starts with a T, but then it's selam. So I'm not a good Hebrew scholar at all. I'm not a scholar at all. So selam, I think, is how you'd say that, but don't hold me to that. Selam means shadow, phantom, or an illusion. Now, what would we mean by that? So here's the thing that the Bible's trying to say. And I'll throw this as a question to you. Do we look like Jesus, or does Jesus look like us? That's right. So who was first? Has to be God, right? You get into thinking about why did Jesus look the way that He looked? Well, I don't know. The only thing I can think of is that's how it's all started. His image or His form, and I'm thinking very simplistically here. I'm sure some scholar somewhere could really eviscerate my thinking process, but I'm just boiled this down to real simple stuff, okay? He made us to look like Him. Now, why would He do that? Because from what I understand of Scripture, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit acted as a family, and they wanted a larger family. And so the Father created another one. And that's what the family is. He wanted to expand the family. They were having such a good time together that they wanted to have a whole bunch of us. That's what I think it was. And so, do your kids look like you? Mine look like me. It's like I can tell. Or they look like Arita, one of the two. You know, so that would make sense. Yeah, well, I'm making a person. Looks like us. The Hebrews 1 says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Now, I realize there's a lot more to it than just looks, okay? But just follow in that we're one of them. That's the idea. He wanted to create something He could relate with deeply, truly. I mean, you can have the relationship that you want with your children. And so I believe that goes into that's what we're talking about. Prayer is communion. It's communicating with this person who's going to represent me on this planet, and he's going to do this powerful work because I'm going to be with Him while we do it. We get to do it together. You know, I've heard the statement that fatherhood is at the center of the universe. I believe that. Fatherhood is at the center of the universe. That's that John 17, Jesus is saying, Father, I was with you before this all started, and it was awesome. And so this has been going on a long time. It comes out of the Father's heart, this relationship that we have. And prayer is just relationship, and we ought to have as much of it as we possibly can and spread more of His heart through us to everyone. Listen to them, love them, encourage them. When I see the image of God in you, then I see potential that's coming out of you, a treasure. It's in there. I don't even know that you know that it's in there, but I want to help you get it out because it's going to be awesome. It's going to make everything better. And then you help me get mine out. And then we just learn how to do that better so that God is represented on the earth. So that light is here instead of darkness, so that order comes instead of chaos. You know, I've told you, I believe that we've got a spiritual World War II headed our way, and we're going to have to wake up and get out the things that we have to offer in the war. Powerful weapons of warfare is what the Bible says that we have. Learning how to pull down those vain imaginations and speculations and high things that would lift themselves up against the knowledge of God. Those are things we all have access to right now. We can do it. We can do it. Those things are done in the communion, in the prayer. And so that's what we want to do. And it is 7 o'clock. I got to stop. Okay, so that's just a little beginning piece there. I'll tell you what, let's do this. Would anybody like prayer or, because we'd love to do that. We can bring you down here, we'll anoint you, we'll lay hands on you, we'll pray for you. Anybody here like that? Anybody? Anybody? Everybody's perfect. Awesome. We can go out and change the world this evening. Okay, I'm just going to pray for us and we'll close her down. So, Father, we just love you. We're so grateful that you are our Father and that you went to the lengths that you went through. Lord, as Easter week is still on my heart about what you did, it's just amazing. The lengths that you went to give us this gift of communion, of being born again in your Spirit and then having a document, a covenant filled with thousands of promises of things that you say you'll do if we'll stand and believe, if we will commune with you and know you deeply and then represent you on this earth. And Lord, I just pray over this congregation. You're stirring our hearts, Lord. Stir us, heal us, give us your life, give us your peace. Father, give us hope. Father, I just pray the power of God just would settle upon this place, and may we be a church in which you can rest and remain and do the things that you desire to do. Father, I just pray your blessings over your people, and we thank you for your love. So bless us as we go tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys are blessed. Have a great week. We will see you Sunday morning. Okay?